Okay, it's 5:45 p.m. on July 17th, and this is a meeting duly called of the Kituit Fire District Board of Water Commissioners. I'm Chair Mark Robinson. With me is our Commissioner Hoppenstadt and Commissioner Horsley and Superintendent Wiseman. We will start off with public comment. If there's anybody here from the public who would like to comment, we'd ask you to come up to the microphone and introduce yourself. And
my name is Manuel Roderick Construction Company Incorporated. I was here at the last meeting. First of all, I wanted to address the board to see if you have received the letter that was sent.
We have. We have it here in our packet.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to make sure.
It's a letter dated July 12th from Roderick Construction.
Right. Okay. The next thing that I wanted to, before the bid is awarded, I think that's why you're here tonight, to award the bid at this meeting. I don't know if you are or not, but for round number two. But before that happens, I wanted to just discuss a few things. I did reach out to the Attorney General's office at the last meeting. I know that Jennifer said that you reached out to your lawyer, and your lawyer said just to put it back out to bid. Well, that's not the legal thing to do. The legal thing to do is, and I have case after case after case, when I talk to the Attorney General's office, they advised me to go onto their website, and it's case after case after case where there was a similar situation that happened. And in every one of those situations, the thing did not go back out to bid. It was awarded to the next lowest bidder. Now, there was only two bidders, but that's not my fault. You know, it doesn't matter if it's two bidders, 10 bidders. It has to go out to the bid, and I will quote a part of this. It says, the awarding authority lacks no power to reject or to order a rebid to just to capture the benefit of a lower bid. You don't have the authority to do that. That's unlawful. Okay? There was three things where, as you know, I talked to you about it last time, a staff member tampered with the bid. Can't do that. If she meant to do it or she didn't mean to do it, it really doesn't matter. The thing is, you can't, that's a legal binding bid contract. It's a sealed bid. You can't touch that. It has to come before the board. You have to see it the way it was presented. And then you could go to your legal department and say, okay, what's legal and what's not. It can't be tampered with in any way, shape, or form. You have to also give me a valid reason, a written notice, after the fact, when you said you weren't going to give me the bid, okay, you were just going to put it back out to bid. Legally, you have to give me a written notice before starting the new bid process of why you rejected my bid. That was not done either. So, you know, I'm not trying to be a hard guy, but the bid process has to be fair for everybody. If I don't want to say his name, but my competitor put in a bid, and it was deemed invalid. And I know it was deemed invalid because the lawyer said, throw it out, start over. So if it was whole and it was good, you would have given the bid. And that didn't happen. So if it gets thrown out, legally it has to go to the next lowest bidder. And I have, like I said, I have case after case after case. It took me all about 15 minutes to go where the Attorney General told me to go to look at what's going on. And they said, just go on this website, you'll see case after case after case where it's eerily similar to what you're telling me happened. So,
Mr. Roderick, do we have a copy of those cases as well as your letter?
These are mine.
Okay.
If you
would you like to make copies and deliver them to the department?
Sure. But I mean, you can just go on the Attorney General's website.
Right. Well, I'm just
and saying, you can find them. They're everywhere.
For convenience sake, if there was a copy at the office that we could provide to our attorney.
Okay. All right. Okay. So I would urge you, before you award the bid, to look at was, because I, look, if my hand is forced and I'm forced to do, you know, to get a lawyer and, you know, to go that route, I will. But I don't want to have to go that route. I think we should be able to resolve this, you know.
So we, that letter was dated last Friday. I don't know when it was received in the office.
We actually didn't receive the letter until today.
Oh, okay.
It did come registered receipt. I just got it today. I signed for it today. So you'll get that tomorrow in the mail, probably the next day.
Okay.
We didn't hear back. We right away called the lawyer on it. I didn't hear back from him until about 4 o'clock. So these guys really haven't had a chance to even read the letter.
Oh, okay.
That's there now. I should have stopped you earlier or anything, but you know, I understand what you're saying. I was going to make a suggestion that we don't vote on it tonight anyways.
Right.
We have to have him review it a little more. He started to go through some of the laws that I know of, but I told him, I said, I want to make sure you're not throwing me any kind of quick job on it, that you really look at it before we give any kind of response.
Okay. All right.
So just, I apologize that we didn't get to it earlier, but according to the guys, there was nothing in the mail yesterday. I kind of stepped on my tippy toes to look, we got a box up top, and I saw it lying flat, so maybe they didn't notice it then.
So we will take this under advisement.
Okay.
We have your information. If you'd like to deliver a little more information, that would be helpful. You can hand deliver it. I think that's probably the quickest way to do it.
Okay.
Yeah, we have two different coffee machines at the office. If you want to just swing by, we'll make enough copies for everybody, and that way I'll get right back to you. It should only take 2 minutes.
Okay.
All right.
We'll do that.
Thank you.
I have a question for you, Manny. You said that the awarding authority does not have the authority to reject bids in order to obtain a lower bid. Is that correct? Is that what you said?
Yeah, well, basically, you can't just say, oh, I don't want to give it to you because, I mean, last time you said it was not in the best interest of our, but that's not a legal reason why. You just can't throw it out and say, because I want to get, rebid it so we can get a lower bid.
Right.
You know?
Correct.
And you didn't get a lower bid anyways.
Right, that's not why we rejected the bid, to receive a lower bid. So I just wanted to make sure. That's what you had said.
But this right. Gentleman here, he wasn't even the second lowest bidder. He was the third lowest bidder. And, you know, they were trying to throw it out. And he said, nope. He got a lawyer. They fought it. And he was successful. And like I said, I have page after page after page. It was some very similar situation.
So I think if our attorney can review some of those cases as well as the law. But let's defer this until next month. Thank
sure.
you for your input.
Okay.
And we understand this is an important issue.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank
Appreciate
you.
Appreciate your time.
Thank you, Manny.
Is there any other public comment before the water commissioners tonight? Okay. so we will proceed with the agenda. First is to review and approve the meeting minutes of June 19th, 2019. We were all in attendance at that time.
That would have to be ex-Commissioner Hobbstead to sign those. He was
yes,
still
I have
at
that.
The time.
Yep.
He was still at
So, and I've had time to read the minutes, and have you guys had time to read them?
Yes.
Yep. Mark, could you?
Yes.
So I'd make a motion that we accept the minutes.
Thank you.
I'll see you in the morning, or I'll be there at 8. Actually, 4 to 6, so we'll be there.
There is one change in the fifth paragraph here on the first page. Commissioner Robinson asked if the chairman had been made aware of any changes to the employee benefit package, specifically the paid family medical leave. There was no change made to the employee benefit package because I was informed afterwards that the district is not subject to the Paid Family Medical Leave Act of Massachusetts. So that whole discussion was moot.
Why is it?
Yeah, but it's
so we still have it.
Yeah,
we
still had
we did.
This is
right.
Just a recount. Yeah.
So, and ask Mrs. Nash to notify the Prudential Committee of their decision. So we did notify the committee, and we're told that it was an irrelevant aspect of the package. So anyway, that's just a point of information. I think we obviously did discuss it like that. I think it should stay as it is.
Second, the motion to approve.
The next item is the warrant, and I know that we had some warrants that were signed this past week. I'm still a little confused. I'm a little confused, Chris, because we seem to be sort of in a parallel universe where some can be approved online and some are approved by signature. And I'm not
sure. They all can be approved online. We just, if they're ready tonight, instead of waiting for everybody, if somebody can't get in or something goes on, we bring them to the meeting at the same old time, you know, just to do it while you guys are here. We have everybody present.
So
if there's a problem, I don't know if anybody's having a problem getting in. If everybody's okay with it.
Yeah. No, it seems to be working well.
It has been going real well. It's nice to be able to get them done a little quicker and everything. But
I did stop into the office and sign one manually and was told subsequently that the chair of the Prudential Committee wants it done online, too, or instead of.
Both? Oh, both? Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, she didn't like the fact that there was a manual signature, so I had to go back in and do it online as well.
Fran?
This is the new chair of the Prudential Committee that made that recommendation to our office.
How are you?
I could have brought the mic over to you at this point, if you want.
Fran Parks, Prudential Committee. No, the fire commissioners are doing it all online. It's perfectly fine to do it all online. And actually, you could sit here at your meeting with all that paper that you have. If you put that online and connect to our new Wi-Fi, you don't need all that paper.
I need that new Wi-Fi. I heard that, yeah. We have Wi-Fi now here at the everything. There's a password to get in, we use it.
It's private. It's not for public use at this point. The Prudential Committee has to discuss that. So.
Okay.
I thought I sent you the... Didn't I send you the password? No?
I don't believe so, but I'll check. If you send it to my old address, it might not have come in. I got to make sure it's the new address.
Okay.
To send it to. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Can I just...
Okay. Thank you.
All right. So we have a number of warrants to sign.
I got two here.
Okay.
If you want to go through and do it this way.
If we're here now, I'd rather do it now than have to go online again. So. But they're going to accept these manual signatures, is my point.
As far as I know, it's still, either way, it's still good.
So, by putting the bid process on hold, how does that set us up for getting work done?
It kind of is putting me in a predicament. Our last one just ran out yesterday.
So we'll talk about that on the superintendent's report or something? I want to make sure.
I'm basically working under the assumption that Bortolotti will honor their current contract until this is done. They might tell me one way or the other. It just came up this morning, put it that way. We now measured some services.
Okay. Cool. Chris, just a quick question on the morning. On call, what does that mean?
That's what we do is we for the guys to be on call for the week, they get $225 to carry the phone. So if there's any emergencies, that they have to stay within 30 minutes of the district to respond to any call.
I see.
Yeah, so they get paid. We have to put it on there because it's kind of scheduled over time in a way.
Okay.
We put it on there and it's brought up from the month before.
Thanks.
Yep.
Okay, we can start the discussion of water quality report.
Sure. We're doing all right. So far, so good. Our chlorine levels have done pretty well. We have had, we are going to be doing our lead and copper. It's supposed to be done this quarter. We really haven't discussed the exact day, but it will be done within the next month. So I might not have the results by next meeting, but the samples will have been done. We have to take 20 around town. So it's a lot involved with...
Are you taking one?
Quite no question. Oh, okay.
Sorry, I'm not interrupting you. How do you decide where the 20 locations are?
It's all a system with the state of when they were built, what year, when they were using lead in the solder. It's a certain year for the house and what they have plumbing in the house.
So these are at homes?
Yeah. You have to take them in each house. They're supposed to either take it to the kitchen faucet, the bathroom faucet. They have a little form they fill out and check off the time. They can't run it at least 6 hours, but no more than 18. So you don't want the water to sit too long, but you want to sit at least 6 hours unused.
How often are those locations changed?
They aren't changed very often. It's more because it's getting hotter and hotter to find them. But what happens to us is we have people that move away, sell a house, and the new owners come in, they're like, yeah, I don't want to do that. So we have to find somebody else. So we have to have another 10 alternate locations. So we have to call them and ask them if they'll come up and be a regular for us. So it gets to be quite a project, even just to do it. Actually, last month, Jen and I attended a class up at MassDEP in Lakeville on the testing, last week, actually. So it was on the 11th. And we've been doing it every 3 years. The state really doesn't want everybody doing it every 3 years. They'd rather everybody do it every year. And it's the amount of work that it takes. I wouldn't really want to do it, but especially since we passed the last 5 years, about five testings.
We've had 5 years of tests without any detection.
Five periods, I'd say. Originally, we had to do, I think it was
15 years.
Yeah, something like that. And when everything came up before we put in the treatment system, we failed basically the lead and copper. You send it out, you do it. Now we put the system in, and we haven't failed since we put the system in. If you do if you pass four quarters, you can go apply for every 3 years. And that's how it started out. So we're still on that three-year cycle. Now, if we fail, we'll have to go back to once a year or do the quarterlies and go. What they're saying is they don't want to do any more 3 years. They're only going to allow 1 year after that. So we have to make sure that everything's working fine with our pH system.
So this is just lead and copper?
Yeah.
When we do something for the PFAS, would that be at the tank or in the houses, or where would that be?
PFAS will be from the stations.
From the stations.
Yeah, they're going to be testing all five stations to make sure it's not in the groundwater itself, because that would come.
Are you starting to look into that?
I have. I talked to Barnstable. They retested over there with a company now. Originally, we talked about getting the prices, and it's only going to cost me, whether it was $300 a station. I said, since we've talked, they've come out with a new standard of testing. You have to use certain type gloves to test. You have to change them in between filling the bottle, screwing it down, and putting the bottle in. You have to use ice, a certain type of cooler. You can't have any fabric softener on. You can't have used a certain aftershave. There's so many rules out there now that there's no way I wanted my guys to do it, because Barnstable did it, and they were above the 20 parts per whatever out there. They called GZA, one of the companies, and I was told today that DEP actually came down and tested it. That's my next phone call. I might say to them, hey, it could cost me this much, or you guys can come do it for free. So I'm looking into that also. But they ended up spending almost $5,000 or $6,000, they said, and they got underneath the limits when they actually tested it the right way. He said, I don't even think mine were legal. He said, I sent them to Canada to be tested.
So
it wasn't even a local, place. There's only like three places in Massachusetts right now that are doing the tests.
Right. But we just want to be doing it once as a precaution baseline.
Hopefully.
Mashpee right now has some problems.
Right.
Yeah, and...
We're right in between Mashpee and Hyannis. So
right.
Not that they're leaking over here, but...
on that...
I want to be able, this fiscal year, to be able to tell our ratepayers that we're on it, and we're not ignoring it, and we did a test, it was expensive,
right.
And here's the result.
Because we weren't required to do the testing originally, doesn't mean we're trying to get away from it at all.
Right. It's because it's going to continue to be in the paper.
It's a train that's coming that's going to hit hard, real hard.
I had somebody tell me that when the fire trucks used to spray the foam for the kids on the 4th of July.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I don't remember foam. I always remember water being sprayed. In fact, no water was being sprayed this year even. But
they used to do a certain day, and they used to do a certain firefighting day or something to that effect over in Colm. And I can remember my kids getting sprayed and sliding underneath it and disappear out there. They would just put it all over the place on 28th at elementary school. Yeah, and I'm sitting there going, ow, I'm looking down going, oh, jeez.
What is the schedule then to get this testing done?
Right now I'm getting prices. I talked to one firm today. They said it's about $600 right now for them to put it in, and you're probably talking it could be up to 2 days for testing. $1,000 a day, they said. So that's around $5,000 to do it, the five stations.
$600 per sample?
Yeah. So we got five stations, I figure that's 3,000. Yeah, okay, roundabouts.
I mean, there are no firefighting sources in this area, right?
No, but it's into
but
a point.
Well, I know there's a lot of
yeah,
lot
I know
of
John's Pond, they said, in the Shumet is loaded right now. And I don't know what their plume goes through underneath. You know, does it hit into my section? You know, it's all one big, as it goes, on the zone.
I wonder if it might make sense to just test one or two of the more likely wells, the ones that have higher density around them. I don't know if that would be a cost saving. We're not required to do this, but we're trying to do it as a
precaution. Yeah. I mean, it might be good to know just in case if we do have something happen.
Yeah.
One of the alternatives could be a blending.
Right.
So if there was something at five happening, you can't run five unless you run station three or station two with it.
Yep.
So when you put it out, you blend it together and it's coming below the surface. So I think it would still be,
I'd rather do all
the amount
of
money.
Okay.
We have the money to do it.
Okay.
Because
if we find two are clean, somebody could say, what about the other three?
Yeah. Yeah.
So let's just get it done once, and then if there's no problem, we won't have to do it on the road.
If they came down and retested Barnstable, from what I hear through the rumor mill, I'm going to say, how come you guys can't come down and test us?
Yeah.
We never had it done, so let's get to a baseline.
It might be because of the hit that they've had.
You could make the case to them that we're right next to Mashpee.
Right.
And that's why. So anyway.
On station five. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty the only
close.
Thing, but it is, our largest producer, too.
It is.
Yeah.
And we pump a lot of water out of that, so that's a good thing. But I agree with Commissioner Robinson that all of the pumps, all the wells should be tested.
And I do have another meeting. I have, Sean and I have kind of, they brought back, they did kind of away with the, the Barnstable Water Advisory Committee, not around anymore. I believe that because one of the members wasn't a town of Barnstable person.
Resident?
He lived in Sandwich. They didn't like him being on the board. So it kind of dispersed and everything else. So we've kind of made Mark Ellis get together and said, hey, he invited myself and Barnstable, Hyannis, Palm, got everybody together, and with the town of Barnstable, also a few of the other people, and they're talking about some of the dollars that are coming in for the wind project, the Cape Wind project.
Vineyard Wind,
The Vineyard Wind, that I had no idea, I hadn't heard a thing about until I sat down at that meeting. They said, that's because it doesn't touch you.
But we'd like to, they got a big chunk of money from Vineyard Wind, and they'd like to disperse it all the villages instead of just Hyannis, they figure, even though it came to them. So they're talking about that, PFAS and everything else, and trying to see the big picture, and just trying to get everybody back together on the same page. Yeah, so it's nice. We're going to try and meet once a month. I actually missed the last meeting because I was at the DEP meeting. But I think we should, I just got a notice today, it's the 14th next month, which is the second Wednesday, but it gets done at 4, so it's supposed to be like a 2 to 4 thing.
If you have conflicts for two important meetings like that, you should let us know, and maybe one of us could cover it for you and take notes.
Okay.
You know,
we're
all busy guys, but occasionally, you know, if it was late in the afternoon, I can get out of work early or something like that. It's possible. So. Anything else on water quality for now?
Nope, that's all I have right now.
So can you...
I want the lead and the copper testing, so we don't have to do the school this year, right? Because they're
No, all I need is a letter over there saying that they dispersed, that it's not there, and we don't have to do it.
Okay. And how many residences do we do?
There's 20 that we have to do.
20. Right now. And you said the states, they're posturing, or are they going to require that we do this every year?
Not unless something happens.
Okay.
Yeah, if we fall under the percentage, the 10th percentile, I think it is, they'll make us do something.
Yep.
So we're in a good situation now with the our stations have been running all right. We have one well that's been kind of funky, and we've been really messing with it, trying to get it perfect. And I think our new guy is pulling—he pulled all his hair out because I gave him a project that he's like, "I'm a smart guy; I should be able to figure this out." And every time he comes back, he goes, "I did it!" And then the next day, he goes,
"Okay."
Chris, can you have us on somebody's radar for the PFAS testing a month from now? Do you think?
Yeah. I think,
or at least a little more clear direction of how we can, whether DEP could do it or not.
Yeah, I'll definitely make the phone call, check with them, see what they say. If not, I've already.
Is that something?
I'll solicit a couple prices.
Yeah. Okay.
Out there.
So if it's $3,000, you don't need a full RFP, or do you?
No, I don't need one. I actually could just use whoever we usually use for our engineer. We can call them and say, "Hey, just do it," because they are engineers. I don't want to say a glitch there or anything like that, but if they're doing the work for you, if they have in the past, and you're confident with them, you can have them do it.
Mm-hmm.
So I've had usually three or four different people working with us. You know, if I have to, like I said, I'll try to get three verbal quotes from somebody. I may have them just maybe throw something in an email, keep a file with it, and we'll go from there.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That'd be great.
Yep.
Good. Any other questions about water quality?
I think we probably won't have the lead and copper back next month.
I don't believe so, just because the results usually take a little while to come in.
Where does that get analyzed? You know?
If possible.
We'll do it at Bart County?
Yep.
Fran, was there something you wanted to address the board about, or are you just listening? Yeah. Sure, we could take that out of order. I actually did read it. And this is the full audit that was for FY 18 and done by Lynch Marini Associates. So that's the audit of the district as a whole, and there were recommendations made to the district as a whole. There were two things that in particular were pointed out about the water department, and one of them was oversight of billing and receivables collection, billing and collection of the rates and the usage and the charges. So part of it is that, you know, we're a small shop. We have one clerk who is in charge of sending out the bills and bringing in the bills. Her work is reviewed by the treasurer, and this idea that the commissioners should be involved in oversight of that function, which is an office function, I don't think makes a lot of sense.
Is that what the auditor said?
So the, do you want to address that, Fran? So we do have a response that was drafted to address this, but let's hear from Fran first.
The treasurer doesn't oversee her sending out of the bills.
Does not oversee the billing, but I don't understand how there could be oversight unless another person was hired to look over the shoulder of the clerk.
Well, I don't think necessarily look over the shoulder, but just, you know, look at, you know, check when the bills are going out.
Well, we know when the bills are going out. If there's discrepancies that are made, it would be showing up in the collections. If there's some variance, egregious variance from the previous years, that would be an indication that something was amiss. But I don't understand the intent of the recommendation.
Well, I can I can give you his email if you wish to discuss it with him, but. You know, this is always a deficiency in our audit report. It's an ongoing problem. Part of the solution is going to be once we institute people being able to either pay bills by credit card or e-check. That'll pretty much solve the entire dilemma because that money won't be going through the water department office. And so that's something that we really, you know, try to move forward and get done, because that would, you know, pretty much solve most of the problem down there.
Well, let's to be clear, we haven't found that there's a problem. There's a suggestion that it would be better if there was somebody checking on the collections in particular, but also the billing itself. I mean, we know when the billing is going out. I mean, that's, you know,
I understand
established
that.
July and October, but so the district as a whole is moving towards e-collection. Is that what you're saying?
Well, that's we don't collect any taxes,
right.
And so the only
about,
two.
What about the ambulance fees?
The ambulance fees, that's all done by an outside company. For the and that has considerably raised their rate of return on the ambulance fees. They're doing much better. But what we're talking about is being able to pay their water bills, and for the fire department, you know, paying any fees for any of the inspections, burning fee, anything else like that. And that will for the water department, that will remove the material deficit that is in every single report because of just of the way it's set up. And so that's...
Okay. So just to be clear for the record, there has not been an identified discrepancy through this audit. It's a management recommendation to have other procedures...
put in place, correct.
As safeguards.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
we have... a draft of a management response, and that's in our packet, commissioners. And it's dated June 26th, and it basically says that the board understands and accepts the risks of not reviewing the commitments to the water billing system prior to mailing statements, and deem the risk to be immaterial. So. I don't know if this is something that we want to... You haven't seen this yet.
I'm sorry?
You haven't seen this draft response yet.
Yes, I have.
Oh, you have?
Yes,
okay.
I have.
Is this something that could be useful to the district in responding to the auditors?
They've already seen that response also.
Okay. All
But they still left their recommendation in.
Okay. All right. So we just, I guess that's an agree to disagree kind of thing. And we're moving towards electronic collection of fees and checks. And hopefully that will, if not set the matter right entirely, be moving in the right direction.
Right. Okay. Remedy a great deal of it.
Great. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Chris, anything else on that? About the school? The Cape Cod Collaborative, to the best of my knowledge, is moving into the school, and they're bringing their Teens at Risk program with them.
Oh. Wow.
Is that a residential program?
Wow. Wow.
So,
okay.
So we'll probably have to test them right at home because they're the kids.
Yeah. Well, you don't know when they're talking about going in there, do you? You heard? Okay. Yeah. Okay. And just so you, the whole thing, we get a lot. We still get phone calls about people asking to pay online. You know, can we pay online? Can we pay with the phone? Can we pay by credit card? Stuff like that. We did a couple years. Really, everybody kind of looked into it, and it's kind of got, you know, thrown back a little because everybody's been real busy and all. But it is something that, you know, we'd like to see too. And we looked into it a little bit, and I don't think that really. If I remember correctly, and I believe that it has to be set up by Ray to do it, because,
Typically, so, if it's like PayPal or anything else, they want a 3% charge.
There are different charges on there and everything, yeah. They have looked at a couple different ones. Some are real expensive. Some, like, if you go to the town of Barnstable, you can pay your taxes online there, and there's certain things, too. So, yeah. Okay, yeah. So the girl over there is willing to share anything usually. Tom's a great guy.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
They're very helpful.
Yeah, so we'll check, you know, again.
Well, is that our responsibility, or is it the treasurer's office?
Yeah, the treasurer should be looking into it at this point. So and he started to, and I'm not saying that he's put it to the side or anything like that, but we all kind of, until it's time to pay again, that's when all of a sudden someone says it, we go,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, we were looking into that.
I would rather have his office be in charge of setting up any electronic collection.
Well, he'd have to, because he has to have. He's the only one that has they can give out the account numbers. He's the only one that can do anything. So he's going to have to do it anyways. Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Thank you.
Any questions or comments from the board? Okay. Thank you. Yeah. Well, then we will proceed with the superintendent's report.
Oh, okay. All right. Superintendent's report. In June of 2018, we pumped 29,969,000 gallons of water. In June of 2019, did I say 18 or 19 first?
I said 18 first.
Okay. 2019, we pumped 25,718,000 for a decrease of 4,251,000 gallons of water. Seems like a huge amount of water for us to be, you know, from one year to the next. But we did do some flushing last year in June for a while. And it was much hotter last year in June than it was this year. So I don't see anything wrong with that right now. I don't think anything's off. I've had everything tested in January, all the master meters and everything, and I think everything's pretty accurate there. I think it's just because of the weather and because we were flushing that discrepancy.
Maybe people got scared about the water rates going up.
Could have been that. Then we started having discussions. Yeah.
I got to start cutting back.
I wonder if there's some truth to that.
Well, yeah. I'll tell you.
We're going to find out in the next 12
months. I can tell you right now that we didn't. Like right now, I go into the water department, and all five stations have run this last week. I haven't really seen that. last year it was happening in June. We had some heat waves in June, or some really hot days going, and people didn't even turn the sprinkler systems on this year until probably 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago. So, you know, it wasn't that bad.
Yeah.
There wasn't a big rush like last year, I'd say. So, that's nice. We didn't put in any new services or any replacements last month. A little update on Tower North and the cell carriers. I don't know if anybody's noticed, but one of the cows has been taken down and pulled away.
I didn't notice.
Yeah, T-Mobile. T-Mobile was on by itself, and they sent us a letter that said we are going to, August will be out your last payment from us. We're moving over to the new antenna.
Mm-hmm.
The next day after that letter came, they were in there taking it down.
So must have been last week.
Yeah.
That was Friday.
Yeah.
So
it was last Friday. I saw them had it down into the side, and I think they took it out on this Monday. And finally towed it out of there and everything, which I've been told that they can't even go up there, so they must have had everything over there already hooked up and just fired everything up.
So who's left?
I have to make one more phone call to them because, as far as I know, their equipment's still there. Their antenna might not be, but they have a cabinet and everything else. I have to go check on that. So if that's still there, I might send a letter back to them asking them when they're going to come remove their equipment.
Yeah.
Because they were still using it over there, you know, and give a response at least to them on that.
So they've paid, basically they paid their lease through July at this point for that cow, and they said that's probably our last payment?
I think they said they will be discontinuing the contract in August.
So they have to log it so you could lead off with something about that or weave that in, like, okay.
I understand you want to stop, but you still got all your equipment there.
Equipment and materials on site in August.
Right.
We'll fill you.
We'll be expecting, something
accordingly, based on the number of days or something.
Okay. Yeah, we'll work something out.
We have a couple pages in here about the flushing program, which I had asked Chris and Jen to provide so that we had an understanding of this question of people not knowing when and what to do and where. And, so I was very interested to see these notices, which are published in the Barnstable Patriot, Channel 18, also on Facebook and the website. There's no one single answer of pushing information out to people. Usually if you're having a problem with water, you pick up the phone and call the water department.
Right.
Your friendly neighborhood water department. I'm trying to think of, you know, we do have the signboards, but this is too much information to be put on a signboard, which is really just for people, motorists. You know, another thing you might try is posting at the coop, at the library, the post office. You know, just
the board out here.
Yeah, even just blowing this up a little bit, Chris, on 11x17, and just asking the guys as they drive around to put them in some more public places. I've never watched Channel 18. I got better things to do with my time. I don't subscribe to Barnstable Patriot. You know, how would I know how to do it? Facebook is all hit or miss. I don't look at it every day. And the website, that's pretty passive. I have to think about the water department's website. But all these things are good. It's just that there's no one answer other than I was wondering if there was a mailing, when we do the mailing, we tell them about the flushing. Do we include all of this information about aesthetics and clarity and not a health hazard? Do we put that in? Could we put that in the letter that goes out in advance of the flushing?
Mark, did you mention the Civic Association newsletter? I can't remember. Is it
Everything to that. We used to put them everywhere in town.
Yeah.
I mean, on telephone poles, we used
really?
To do everything.
Really?
Yeah, years and years ago when we first started.
I don't like them on telephone poles.
Well, it's illegal. I didn't realize that until afterwards. A police officer told me that.
Fill out with all the lost cats.
Yeah. But we had them everywhere. We had them done on a certain type of paper that had a sheen on it so it rained and everything else. We have not done, I mean, we used to run it in the Times for a week straight. It gets so expensive.
Yeah, it's expensive.
That you know, we were blowing our budget, you know, for anything else. So, right. So, I mean, you're correct, and I got thinking, there is a a postcard mailing that we could probably do that has that on it with the same information of keep your eyes posted. Will be in your neighborhood or check this site, just like that is all there.
Yeah.
If you're saying that, you know, you don't read the Patriot that's in there, you don't, a lot of that stuff me either.
Yeah.
But, you know, we can put it around town, but I think it is a discounted rate for just a quick little yellow, blue, whatever postcard.
Well,
that
could it
be
included in, what's the spring mailing, March? January? July, October.
A reminder or something like that, yeah. But if it's not a postcard, a bill stuffer doesn't get read as much as if you send them one thing.
True.
The thing that strikes me is I think everybody sees the signs that you put out,
yep.
But as we talked about the last meeting, people don't know what to do about that. They say, okay, we're water flushing. What is that? Okay.
Yeah.
So would it be maybe one way is to direct them via that sign to maybe your website. Information here. Just to most people assume you have a website, but somebody's driving by and they see that, and they might think like, okay, I'm not sure what that is.
You could
do
put
something.
Is
you
the website
the
already
secondary
on?
Source.
It just says Kootenai Water Department.
It just says Kootenai Water Department.
Call
it. Yeah.
Just call.
You could put a phone. I'm trying to think. We had them signs made up, so.
You
might be able to add something there to it or something.
Just
where
to go from there? Because those are the most visible things.
Yeah.
I don't know how many people read the Patriot. I don't either.
Right.
Yep.
But everybody sees those signs.
Yeah.
And
but if it's not too expensive to do a mail out,
yeah.
Again, it's passive versus active, pushing out information.
Right.
So
right.
Getting a letter, postcard, insert stuffer to every ratepayer. Sent you something.
Mm-hmm.
We can't make you read it, but if it comes into your house, that's the best we can do.
And we already have a permit, so I mean, if we do like a bulk rate mail like that, I remember we did something when we went to Lou Jean, and he was the one who said, hey, wait, boom, you have the whole thing out, you get $300-something.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, you charge me to print up the cards. We cut them. They come with a little thing on the side that says pre-sort mail so-and-so, and you pay them this much money.
I mean, everybody's busy. It's hard.
There's
no right answer. That's my point. You're doing a lot already. I think the mailing is the only thing that's going to reach everybody. And if they ignore it, we try.
I think you do that, and like Scott mentioned, you put the website on the placards.
But I think this information is important.
Yeah.
These paragraphs are important.
You just can't get all this on a sign.
Right. But on a postcard you can.
Yep.
Okay. So
we could also ask in on a postcard or in as a bill stuffer, we could ask residents for their email and build a database that's just
glass.
All nonprofits try to do that, and with varied success.
Right, because people don't read them.
Right.
Well,
but
they don't like giving out their email to people because they know it's a marketing trick. So.
Right.
But
if they want to know about the water, I mean, that's another way to get the word.
Right. Yep.
Right.
Constant contact. Okay. So thanks for addressing that.
Yeah.
And when is the flushing would start again? We talked about whether it could be done closer to the winter, so less people are affected.
Yeah.
Does it have to be in the spring? You don't want to.
Usually, it's in the spring.
You don't want it frozen.
Right. It's because of you have the best time of year to do it when the drains can handle it the best. You don't have to worry about anybody coming through town having cold weather and something that didn't drain and cause an accident someplace. So there are some, I talked to a guy that's over in Barnstable right now. He said, Chris, he says, I flush twice a year. He says, I just finished flushing, he said, last week. He says, I've had 4 dirty water complaints already, he said, because everybody's putting their sprinklers on. He said, no matter what you do, he says, it's still going to happen. He says, I can't understand it. And it's true. I mean, you're asked to put the chlorine in the water now. You put the pH to a certain level, and now all the iron and manganese that's there just is coming out of suspension and it's showing up. It's always been there. It might not have been as high, but it's been there, but you're activating it more by putting in chlorine. So now all of a sudden you're seeing it a lot more. So the only thing that's left is to filter it out or top add something. Or somebody told me if I raise the pH up to 9, which I'm not even sure is legal, he said it might take care of it. So I don't know. Then we're going to walk around like we're in New Hampshire. You can't get the soap to go up there. We're trying. We're working
right
on it.
So the point is that we've been listening. We heard the complaint. We heard it in public session. You might get other calls that we don't know about.
Right.
But the more we can think about what to do in my house and how to get that information out, I think is important. That's the point. So you didn't really tell me, though, when you think April is the earliest that you
can start. Usually I believe it's we try to do it. We start at the end of March, and try to get it done in April and May. Try to get everything done by April, end of May.
So maybe you and Jen could just discuss whether it makes sense to do a stuffer in the bill closest to April or do a standalone postcard in April.
Right. It was on the Tuesday, April. Yeah, April 16th last time, to Friday, June 28th. So that's when we usually are doing the flush. We got started a little late that year. This year, that's why it says that.
Okay.
So we try to go out around April 1st.
Okay.
Depending on how many turn-ons, if I can get a guy to the side. And like I said, this year, and I can't say it enough, JR went out and did it by himself, basically. I got very few complaints, and he had it done 2 weeks early. So I can't applaud him enough.
Anything else on your report?
Security system, just to keep you guys up on it. They have been throwing the specs out for the new SCADA system. I'm still having a little trouble with AD Instruments getting anything from them on whether they're going to give me any PLC backups from the existing one that we have here now. They've been ignoring all my emails, so I have to make an actual either visit or phone call. I don't know for some reason it's a locked. I said, hey, I need some electronic backups to the guy, and he goes, yeah, I don't have anything like that. He said, I can get you probably paper stuff. He said, it might take me a while and everything. I said, okay, cool. So, well, I need you to get me them and everything else, and I've never heard back. Every time I talk to the owner, I said, could you please advise me on how I get those? If I need to pay someone to come down and do it, I'll do it that way. But the other ones that have a key that go in the back, my key doesn't work. All of a sudden their key works, and he's the only one that can go in there and make any adjustments to the computer. So I need to get everything back. He's kind of got us held up right now. But we are getting all the specs for the new system. They're coming in, getting sent to GHD. They've been CCing me in on that. They're supposed to start in August, although they just said that they need to come down and do a couple things, and they might not be able to get somebody here to the end of July, which might put it off a couple weeks for them to actually get started. But they are ordering the brand new computer and everything else already. I gave permission to that. So it's still going. I don't see it too far behind. I don't see it behind schedule yet. I mean, they're still looking at being done in the fall.
Once that's done, then the backup, the electronic backup or the hard copy backup probably goes away.
Correct. And I already expressed that to them. They had said, oh yeah, we'll give you any copies. We'll make sure you have a key. Everything will be open. They said, that's not a problem. I just said that I was recently running into some problems. And they said, yeah, okay, we understand. So, and I don't know if there's a way that these guys can actually get in and do it also. It doesn't seem to me that it should be the only way to get in. There's got to be somebody that can, pardon me, if I can hack around it to get in there. So I think I really just have to sit down and talk to an integrator, something like that, that'll do it and can do it.
That went all over my head.
Good
yeah.
For you.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
All I can hear is it sounds like you're making progress.
Yeah.
We're making progress.
Okay. The other, you guys get the stuff on rebidding. As I said,
yeah.
I just got that today. I apologize.
Let me ask you. You said you were feeling like we could get behind in the connections being made. Do you want us to meet sooner than 30 days from now?
I might have to ask that we just do a quick meeting. We'd have to advertise it 48 hours before, just because right now I'm running without a contract. And if there's an emergency in the middle of the night, that could really put me in a jam.
So bids were opened on the 15th.
Those are new prices right there
for
the bids.
And Mark just wants time to look at Mark. Withdrawal wants time
Mark
to look
told
at.
Me that we are allowed to make minor. He was on the certain page. He said, it says right here, you're allowed to make minor adjustments to the contract and this and everything else. So, I mean, if he has a way to quote the law different than what he quoted him, that's fine because, you know.
Well,
we didn't cancel anybody out to get a lower contract.
No, and that's I wanted to make sure that he understood that.
Right.
You know,
right.
That's what he was questioning, or at least what the AG's office told him people can't do, and that's correct. But that's not why we backed away from it.
Correct. And like I said, I'd like to look at those cases also. And listen, I could care less if it was either one of them.
Mm.
To tell you the truth, they both do fine work. I've known the Rodericks for years. They've worked for us before, and so haven't bought a lot in a different form, you know, as businesses get sold and everything
mm-hmm.
else. So I don't have a problem with either one of them. Whatever's decided is decided. Whatever Mark advises, you guys want to go with, I'm okay with.
Well, with the public comment mentioning threat of lawsuit, I think we need good legal advice.
Correct.
The attorney. But if you need us, if you feel like you're getting hamstrung and you want
I definitely will put out an email to everybody, have Jen,
okay.
See if she can get everybody together.
Yep, even if we just meet for 15 minutes.
Correct.
Okay.
And both companies have a water licensed supervisor.
Right. That's fine. Yeah.
That's
and
part of the bid, I assume. That
I believe Sean has this hydraulics license too, so if I had to rent a machine and do something, we might be able to do it and have the guys do it.
And we can get COMM's machine.
Right. And that's another thing too. I mean, I could probably call someone else out to give me a hand.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be a problem.
We get stuck over the next few weeks or months or whatever it takes to work this out. And I think that's a great idea, Mark. Just put us on notice that
mm-hmm.
we might need to have a special meeting just to deal with this.
Okay.
All right. The last thing I have here is actually two different things. I have a couple of data and Howard's reports that
mm-hmm.
I sent out yesterday to everybody a e-copy for mm-hmm. everybody. Sometimes people can't open them. Some people just want to have their own report. So I did run them off and make three copies for you guys
Great.
To bring home. Some very light reading for the month.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So we do have the... source water quality and treatment evaluation. I tell you there that the answer to that will make you cringe.
The price for the
plants will oof.
Yeah.
While I'm on the subject of that, I'm going to also give you the cost of service water rate study final report for you to have for your records. Put someplace here. Nope, that's not the whole thing, Speed.
There's two different things here, right?
Yep.
Okay.
One's colored and one isn't. So I tried to make them so you could see them both.
So one is the source water quality and the other is the cost of service.
Correct.
Okay. All right.
So those are both there.
Now, cost of service water rate study, this is what we've been after them for. They did
correct.
A great job with their presentations, the pamphlets, but this is the actual work product. And this is what we want to make sure it gets on that web page that has all the water rate information.
Right.
So if anybody wants to drill down, they can drill down on this. I suppose we should review it, and if there's anything that seems off, we could...
Right, I'd like you guys, before we put it up, to just kind of take a peek at it,
right.
Make sure it's what you guys
wanted
to see.
What I would do is just ask Jen to put write draft on it.
Okay.
And they may think it's final, but we're the client. We haven't seen it, so we need to read it and accept it, which we will do at our next meeting.
Okay.
But if she can put it up now with the word draft on it, and then we can put it up later with the final voted version on it. I'm not going to suggest that there are major changes. I think we've been through this a lot. But
yeah.
Just to make sure that...
There's a lot of work.
That we... I think it's something that the board should accept because it's been a major project of ours in the past year. I need you to describe what the source water quality evaluation is.
That is, we had paid them to basically see what we might need later on in life to get rid of the iron and manganese and any upcoming things, any contaminants that might be coming, including the PFAS and everything. And their answer there is a treatment plant that could cause a defense if you put future problems into it, $10 million or $11
million. Yeah, I see that.
To treat iron and manganese and PFAS is $11 million.
And with microfiltration to get, yeah.
How many districts and departments do that? I know Brewster has a green sand facility.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that do a green sand, and this is the very good, the nice green sand, I forget what they call it. The quick sand? Anyways, it's the better of the two systems. You don't have a certain byproduct from it. But there's nobody right now in Massachusetts that does the PFAS removal. I got an invitation today.
Aren't they doing that at NIS?
I got an invitation today for August 7th for a groundbreaking for the first iron and manganese PFAS removal plant that is being funded by the SRF money in Massachusetts, which is just like a 2.5% loan, kind of like we got with USDA. Except I don't know if they have any kind of money back on this. I think.
So is that in Hyannis?
Have to be a certain
groundbreaking is in Hyannis?
Yeah, it's in Hyannis on the 7th. I got the invite. I'll send it to you if you want to see it. But yeah, that's the first one. He put it down. Hans sent that to me over there saying, we're going to invite you to Massachusetts first ever okayed. This and
they should just
I believe it's being built by Tater and Howard.
Over off Willow Street or something? Don't know.
It has the address on it. I'll have to get back to you on that. I don't want to give you the wrong address.
Yeah. Okay, so this is just FYI. Was there any action that we're supposed to be taking? Or?
Well, you know, if we want to really get serious on it, we've got to think of ways to start either putting away money. How do we want to think about doing it? I know we're raising rates now, but, you know, do we want to say, you know what, we're going to do a one-time raise here to put enough money to do a pilot study? Are we going to do this to pay for that? Do we want to put it into our capital plan that it has to be done by? So, you know, eventually something's going to have to be done. And I did make the quick phone call today and said, is there any other alternatives out there? There's got to be something else that isn't going to kill me. Because first thing I want to ask you if you're crazy, because that's a lot of money for our little town.
Well, you know, the other side of the coin is continual
source protection approval. If you look at this big scale, New York City and Boston have avoided treatment because of the source protection they're doing in the Quabbin and the Catskills. They spend a lot of money on that, but you find out it's a lot less expensive in the long run. So I would suggest the other thing to at least think about, this is a longer range thing, I assume, right? They're talking down the line. I mean, I'm just learning the system, okay? But I start looking at some of these well fields, and we got a lot of septic systems in some of these well fields, and that's where a lot of this stuff comes from. Some of these wells, I think, are probably inducing some surface water, and manganese can get transported from wetlands and streams, so maybe there's things we can do that are more preventative. And I would, you know, think, I don't know whether this Tatum and this firm, I'm not familiar with them, so they have that kind of expertise or not, but I would suggest we consider that as a as an option going forward. All
right. So I haven't seen this. I'm flipping to the back page. Recommendations. Recommendations is to build something to clean the water. So I think we need to obviously read this, study it, and we'll talk about it next time.
And I could always invite the writer of that, too.
That might be good.
To a meeting and say, hey, they want to discuss it, they'd like you to be there.
Yeah. So when was this contract let? When did you start this? Because I don't remember talking about it in the past year.
No, that was encumbered money from last year. Okay. I talked to them last year before you were even here about writing it. He had 1 year to write it. They had. So, and they had done, he went over to, some of that has Trombo's house in it and some of the areas and everything else. So.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Good. Well, thanks for distributing that. My goal, gentlemen, is to have us out of here at 7 o'clock. So I'm just going to run through these other items. There are things that I want to keep on the docket just so that we don't lose. We're going to talk about this next time. Okay. And get back to the
source.
Sorry.
All right. So under old business, the water rates, I just wanted to say that I have received some information that I got from a clerk in the town of Dennis about how they run their hardship formulas, and it's based on the state statutes. And so there's a lot of good ideas about if we wanted to address any kind of financial hardship. We talked about tracking what the town of Barnstable does. So I'm going to take it on myself to provide a little summary of how that works elsewhere. Something that we can have in reserve if and when we are approached by people saying that they just can't handle these new rates. It will take a year, I think, for it to settle out for people, particularly when they see how they can modify their behavior and as it affects their rates. But that's something that I wanted to mention. Nothing that we need to do tonight. The we talked about the water rate study. We're going to post it as a draft on the website for now. Next month we'll vote on it. Land management. We talked about moving the final towers or temporary towers up onto the new tower and then reclaiming that site. That's something we want to make sure we get done for the fall. Planting season, transplanting season. I still have it on my agenda to work on a management plan for the main well field over the course of the winter. The handbook review, I'm not sure what I asked Jen to put that on because there's some other things that we want to make sure get put into that.
Yeah, we want to
keep it up to date.
You've got one, Scott, I believe. And I don't have one with me. I don't know if either one of you want to bring one of yours.
We will.
And if you had some adjustments to it or something, want to make some comments on it, we can adjust it as needed.
Yeah. So it's essentially the contact information, I think, needs to be updated for some of it. I think she did that. Anyway, we just need to make sure that everybody has the up-to-date information in those books, and we should make it a practice to bring those books, if we can, to the meetings, because they have a lot of good background information. I know you do. I have a big blue folder. What do we want to talk about with the Water Management Act permit update, other than the fact that we're trying to get DEP to modify their stance that if the Barnstable Land Trust can include some of their protected lands in the last 10 years, I think it is, that can provide some bonus points to the department. But we're having an issue where the Barnstable Land Trust doesn't want to be obligated to report any violations of its properties that have been selected for this bonus system, and trying to get DEP to accept a less rigorous reporting requirement. So I don't know if Tata and Howard had any more left.
I haven't heard back from since we had the
I don't think so. So essentially what it means is that if the town and the Barnstable Land Trust can show that they have protected open space in the Zone 2 with conservation restrictions, then the Cotuit Water Department can get bonus points. And I don't really know what the bonus points mean.
It's all for mitigation.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's mitigation for the pumpage.
Yeah.
Okay. So then the water management permit is still pending because that issue hasn't been resolved. That
right.
Okay. So do you have a deadline by which you need this permit accepted? Or it's overdue?
Yeah, 5 years ago.
Okay. All right. So
it's been, I keep getting temporaries, you know, and everything. They can't seem to, they just keep going and going.
Just to be clear on that, if I understood what you were talking about earlier, the pumping issue is actually down.
Right. Yeah. Right now everything's down.
One possibility is the water rates.
Could be. Yeah. And we have to really sit down and see. And that's one of the things we put in for mitigation is that we have the ascending rate.
Right.
You know, we're putting out. We have been raising rates, and they still look for certain.
Right.
Yeah. A certain way that, you know, you put everything together and it equals, you know,
so
10 at the end.
This is DEP's way of encouraging behaviors that they're trying to promote by giving you mitigation points.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
Such
as I'm just wondering if part of the water rate change is factored into this as a possible way to encourage more conservation.
We give them our yearly totals, our ASR every year to plug in. Every year it's updated a little more. We did have, when we were really close or above our actual pumpage one year when we had a drought season.
Yeah.
So.
Chris, the other quick question, if I may, mm-hmm. is just looking through this application and quickly, there is some guidance in here. One of my questions and concerns I brought up at the last meeting is some potential pumping impacts on the Little River.
Yep.
And something I want to think more about, maybe have us do some, you know. And there is some guidance in here in the back on it's cold water fisheries protection. Now, this is not a designated cold water fishery, but it is.
It actually is. I believe it's Nantua
right,
that they talk about there, yeah.
Right. But nonetheless, there is some guidance in here on things that one can do to optimize pumping, like pumping certain wells more than others that are further away from the river, for example.
Right.
There's actually a desktop guidance document here. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that, but
yep.
I'm just wondering if that would also be something that might help provide some information to DEP that we're trying to do the best job possible protecting resources.
Yeah, yeah, and we have, like I said, we have had discussions with them on Station 5 is what they talk about,
right.
Which
right.
is we already don't pump it to capacity. Right now, it's rated for 1,200 gallons a minute. We've never run it over 1,000. I've never seen it run over 1,000. We currently run it at 750 because that way it already helps with the cold water fisheries there that we're not pumping at our top speed. They've asked if we could pump it less. I said I can turn the speed down. I really can't pump it less because I can run that pump by itself where in this time of year I have to run other stations two at a time to get the same flow out. So, and it is our biggest well and our biggest producer, so
right.
as long as I keep the volume down, they seem to be happy. And they can see, you know, they get reports of how much I pump a month out of there.
So I'm gonna designate Commissioner Horsley as the coordinator of the water management permit.
Sure.
So to work with
yeah.
Chris and see if you can get that thing over the hump in this fiscal year.
Okay? Sure thing.
All right. Under new business, we talked about the audit. The district website is something that Jen and I would like to work on over this year. There's something came up today where they don't want the county being in charge of the audio files because it's $97 a month or a meeting,
apparently they've never charged us, but they want to start charging us $97. They did some kind of audit and realized.
The Prudential Committee says there's no money for that. I don't know. Is that a requirement that the audio file be posted?
She says no. That it's not a law that it has to be an audio out there, but we have to put minutes of some type
out. And if somebody wanted to come in and listen to the recording, is that erased after the minutes are made?
Every 3 months, basically. We don't have a permanent of that, but we do have, we could probably put it on a computer. Well, that's the problem. They're compressing the file and sending it there.
Right.
And everything.
So the Prudential Committee is, on behalf of the district, going to be working on this audio file issue. So I don't think we need to worry about it right now.
I don't either.
Okay. Next time we meet, I'd like to have a picture of us sitting at a table or standing against the wall as your friendly neighborhood commissioners so people can see who's in charge of this thing. If you'd like to dress better than a T-shirt, it would be welcome.
Take that under advisement.
See, Tom says, I knew I shouldn't have given
it. I'll tell you, the last time we took pictures of everybody, our local Amy Cates once said, you guys need pictures? She walked up on her phone and went click, 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 went to see Jen, and Jen posted them on there. She took a picture of everybody at the place, each one of you, with their phone and did it. So we can do the same thing usually.
Well, it doesn't have to cost anything.
Yeah.
Right. But I would like it to be on the website.
And the little bios, I don't know if you want to make up your own bios,
So just
Tom likes fishing in the summer.
This is just a paragraph, four sentences.
Expedite the photos. Why don't we all just agree to send in a photo to...
Okay.
That's good.
That's fine. I thought it would be nice to do a group photo, but if you want to have a formal thing sent in, that's fine too. The site visit issue...
You want a photo and a bio, a brief bio? To Jen?
Yeah.
To Jen.
Yeah. This month. The site visit is...
July?
The next 30 days.
Before the next
You should be able to handle that. The site visit issue is not an issue. It's an opportunity. I suggested to Chris that since I don't know much about pumps and pipes, it would be informative to me, and if any of the other commissioners would like to come, to take 2.5 hours someday this summer, which I think is Commissioner Hoppenstadt's downtime.
Well, I learned.
You've already seen it.
Yeah.
So you don't have to go.
So when I became a commissioner, that's one of the first things I did.
Good.
I said, Chris, we're going to go for a ride.
All right.
Yeah.
And he took me for a ride.
So
it's kind of hard for all three people plus
staff to
go in and do that. I would strongly recommend that you do that.
So we just need to coordinate the three of us, not the four of us.
He knows those woods better than me. And they used to be my stomping grounds as a kid.
No, I want to see inside the stations. I haven't been inside the station.
What's behind the brick?
Can I get up on top of the water tank?
I was just going to ask that question. I had a question about what's
on top. I have the gear. We'll put it right on to you.
I'll go on top of that water tank.
There's a door. I know there's a door in the bottom.
The old one. I was going to say, you might have been there.
Yeah.
I think everybody has.
There is an antenna, or a couple of antennas up top.
Yeah. These now go in from the inside, and you have to open a hatch and climb out on top.
Yeah. What are the antennas?
I haven't been up to
those. Whose antennas are those?
There's only one. Well, there's one antenna for us.
Okay.
It's our current SCADA system that goes through on radio waves. And the other is a repeater for the sheriff's department.
Okay.
That we allowed to go up there for no price to do it.
Yeah. Good.
So let me suggest while we're here, is Friday morning any good? This week?
When is that tank going to be cleaned?
I have to get another price. Thank you. That's one of the things I noticed on my vacation, too. When I sat down, I looked up and went, oh.
Hoppenstadt's going to say something.
Yeah. No, I just looked across and said, that's disgusting. Yeah. And then I think even my wife said something about us being over there. And Jen said, see if you can do something about getting that tank cleaned while you're over there.
Yeah.
Actually, I can't do it this Friday.
I think I just made plans for Friday.
How about next
to
Tuesday?
Do something, but I can't remember what
it was. How about Tuesday the 23rd?
Oh. So. Yes, I do. I remember now. Sorry.
These guys get to work early, so we can do it as early as you can get up.
It was good for me.
Tuesday.
I'm running wildlife camp.
Yeah,
Fish and Wildlife Camp on Tuesdays through
like 8
Thursdays from 8 till noon every day.
Right, well, we're not involving you anymore.
So I'm out on those. If you want to do it on Monday or Friday.
Wait, so you're saying you do want to go?
Well, just to go to the pumps station.
Listen, we got the new system now.
What do you want to see?
If you want to go in one day, as long as we don't discuss business, you off the guard. Right.
How about Tuesday the 23rd at 8:15?
Tuesday the 23rd at 8:15. I'm going to say yes.
Unless
I go back to my office and I have something written on Tuesday the 23rd at 8:15.
Right.
So I'm going to say yes. I'll let you know if not.
Okay.
The 23rd.
Is that all right, Scott?
Yep.
All right. So we'll meet up at the office on 28.
If you're not there, contact me another time.
What'd you say?
I'll have to take a tall cappuccino.
Ooh. Have your people talk to my people. Okay. Sounds good. And I didn't hit my goal at 7 o'clock, but unless there's any other new business.
Yeah, go ahead.
I just want to go back to Manny's letter here. I hadn't seen this. And he alluded to the fact that he wants something from us. And he is asking us specifically for a written response explaining a valid reason for our bid rejection and the bid cancellation. And include how and why the commission has reached the decision to reject our bid as a bid principle. Is Mark
I told him today, I said, I'm going to go talk to you guys. I'll get back to you tomorrow, Mark. And I said, he said, well, they could write something. I can tell you what to have them write. I said, I would rather you have something, you write up something so that it's done with the proper laws, proper everything. I said, I don't care if it's on your letterhead or not, but if you write it, send it to us and, you know, say that you wrote it or something like that, we can put it on our letterhead and send to them. And I could have Mark sign it.
Why not have it on their letterhead?
I could have him actually just write it and send it. Say, listen.
Well, either way, he's going to bill us, and the letterhead is probably more powerful.
I think that'd probably be the best.
Yep.
Well, they're asking. He asked for something from us.
But if
Mark wants, if he wants, yeah, I was the chairman at that point, and if he wants me to come in and sit with him, and figure out and do a quick letter, I can do that.
Okay.
So just let him know.
Setting our next meeting date, it can be either August 14th or 21st. Any pleasures?
The 14th might be better for me.
Yeah, me too.
Well, I have a meeting till 4 o'clock, so from 2:30 to 4, I think. So I'll have fresh stuff on from my meeting with them, so I should be back. I'll be back in, no problem.
Okay, 5:45.
14th, I have an environmental oversight committee the second Wednesday of every month.
Okay.
It's at 6:30. And I don't know, I missed the last one for a long time, so I don't know if they even gonna have one.
Do we usually do it the third Wednesday?
Yeah, we do.
Yeah.
I mean, is the 21st really bad, Scott?
No, but I may have a conflict, which I'm not sure. But what happens if one of us can't make a meeting?
We need two people.
So still do okay.
And we can do the 14th. I just may have to leave early.
Okay.
If there's something.
Let's do the 14th.
Big going on. I'll just tell the Mashpee folks that I'm not going to.
Okay.
Let's do the 14th at 5:45.
We just deleted it.
And just one quick thing before you adjourn, I apologize. It kind of dawned on me as we were looking at this and I looked at that audit. Before, when we redid the audit last year, I mean not the audit, excuse me, the handbook, when we did all the altercations to it to make everything come upright to the current laws, the one thing that I was asked to get done is to have a either amendment made to it, Treasurer and Rand Parks,
Prudential
Committee Parks, thank you, had advised us to put in there a set carryover limit for vacation, because now it's pretty vague and says it's up to, that the superintendent can do it on extreme circumstances. And when we came, at the time when we came down to giving post-life employment benefits to Brian's wife, they didn't want to give him certain amounts that there's discrepancy, because the current assistant treasurer read it and said, well, you should have never let him take these, so we're taking 6 days away from you, 8 days away. And I said, you can't take 8 days away. They said, well, why'd you let him do it? You can't do it. It says right here you can't. I said, those are extreme circumstances every single time. I couldn't let him off. It was December, Christmas time, we're shorthanded. I have to see it, and I've always had to, you know, if it's going to put me in a bad predicament, I say to the guy, if you can't take it right now, as long as you use it within the next 3 months, I'm okay with that. I'd rather not be shorthanded. And that's what happened in them times, and he always used it, but it got to a thing where, so they said they just like to see it in writing, that we're allowing them to carry over so much time. So I might write up something that just
so that's
says,
for the employee handbook.
Correct.
Okay. Which we labored over long and hard last year.
Right.
Okay.
Right. And the other thing is, we did make everybody sign something. You saw that in Jen's letter.
Yes.
So I don't have to tell you that. It's in there.
Yes.
So, but it's not a formal contract, and the auditors are looking for a formal contract?
Yeah. They said there's no way, no agreement or anything like that. We said they do accept our handbook. At employment, they signed something.
Yeah.
So we said, here's Jen's, here's Chris's, here's mine, here's this. Then she sent back, she goes, that's great, fine, Danny, but I want updated ones from the new one. Well, you guys just put the new one out. So we had to have everybody sign them again, say, you've read the new employee handbook, you accepted it, and now we just sent them back to her.
And sent them to who? To France?
To the assistant treasurer, who's the HR coordinator now.
Okay.
Okay.
So that's and that's in response to the auditors saying,
Correct. We read that in the audit. Nobody ever called and asked if we had anything. And Jen said, if you had called, I would have sent you the stuff that we had on it, and you wouldn't have to write it up. I'd have a response on it.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, that's where communication comes in.
Right, correct. Sorry.
Can I get the anecdotal comment, Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Four maps tonight, including this report and our map. Little River is not in any of them. Good to show our surface. It's not on that map. It's not in the maps.
Here.
It's really little.
Is that the information.
Do you want us to put your house on there, too?
We'll pass on that.
It is 7:13. I would like a motion to adjourn.
I'll make a motion that we adjourn.
Second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Meeting is adjourned. Thank you.
You gave it. Thank you.
Yeah.